Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Distraction Podcast, where the discussion happens. I'm your host, Holiday, and they are my conversationalists, Dre and Heavy D. We are brought to you by the Distraction Network. You can download our podcast at www.distractionnetwork.com or send out a tweet and let them know how you love us at distract_net. You can also email us at distractionnetwork@gmail.com and or like us on Facebook at distractnet. All right, now all the red tape's out the way. Let's go get it.
Be a kid thing.
It's not anymore?
Not out here. Okay. No, adults dress up for Halloween. They don't do that in Nebraska?
It's frowned upon. Yeah, we don't do that quite as much, but...
Wow. I've got to get to Nebraska more.
You're welcome. We'd love to have you work in the fields with us.
Work in the fields?
That's part of that.
Senator, I'm a house nigga. No, it's a joke.
Do you remember LL's Deep Cover back in the day?
No.
Yeah, where he's a cop and he goes undercover in the drug game and he goes so deep undercover that he forgets he's a cop.
How does that happen? How does that work out?
Yeah, it's, I mean, he goes really, really deep. And like,
cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
All right. So our topic of discussion today is, I'm going to say his name wrong and then Andre is going to correct me. But Bill Maher.
Actually, I don't know that I'm right. You might be right. I say Bill Maher, but I don't know that that's correct.
So somebody. Bill Maher. Maher.
Bill Maher.
So we got three different ways we're saying it today.
I think it's Bill Maher.
Bill Maher. Bill Maher. Or Bill Maher.
Somebody's going to be right.
It's so. All one person, though. But so he did an interview with a senator from Nebraska. And in that interview, he said the N-word. So I'm going to link this in the show notes. And I'm probably also going to play it in the very beginning of the show. So if you listen to the show right now, you probably heard it in the beginning of the show already. But so the topic of discussion today that was brought to us was white people saying the N-word.
Was that a dramatic pause? What was that just now?
White people saying the N-word. Is it bad? Is it wrong?
Yes.
Well, the white person says yes.
So from the token white person in here right now, token. I'm just going to go ahead and say that yes, it's not okay, really, in any manner ever, in my opinion, to use the N-word. I mean, I feel like this
for
segment could be over
for
right
anybody,
now.
Anybody, right?
No, just for white people.
Just for white people.
Well, I mean, no, I would go as far as anybody. I'm good with anybody.
So no one should use the N-word.
It's derogatory against a whole race. So why would you use it?
Right. So my stance on it, it depends on how you feel about the N-word.
Correct.
My belief is you never infringe on people's freedoms. So I believe if a person like me, I use the N-word, I'm trying to stop using it so much, but I don't care who else uses it because I feel like if I use it, then I can't tell someone else if they can use it or not.
I mean, it's never going to be illegal.
Yeah, it'll never be illegal.
But you're just going to make
a lot
of people
mad. It doesn't get mad. I don't get mad about it. I don't get mad. People say the N-word around me, whether they're black, white, or anything. I don't get mad about it because it's a word that I use. Now, for myself, because of what I do and the people I'm around and as far as the way I feel about words now, how powerful words are, I try not to use it myself as much anymore. I think we had this conversation about 8 months ago. And I worked it all the way down from like 200 times a day to right around 120. So I'm working down
it's
on
progress.
It. Progress. So, but I mean, that's what I think though. I think if a person uses that word, then they should not get mad if someone else uses that word. But for people that don't use the word, think it's a bad word to use, then yes, they should feel. But as far as that situation goes right there, if he uses the word, I don't feel. I thought it was pretty funny. Any context?
I have so much to say on this. Like, I don't even know where to start. So let's start
with the beginning.
Am I a proponent of the N-word being used within any context? And I'm not. But that's my personal governing. That's not me setting a rule or a limitation for anybody else. I do think it's clearly it's extremely offensive. It's funny because I just looked it up on dictionary.com, and dictionary.com describes it as probably the most offensive word in the English language, which I thought was interesting.
And it doesn't have a quantifier that says depending on who says it?
No, like that's the opening sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, personally, I don't use the word often. I have used it, obviously. I will use it sometimes, but normally, even when I say it, it strikes a nerve within me. I've never even said this to you, but like when I first started hanging out with you and your brothers, like there was a way that you guys said it that I just thought was hilarious. Like if you guys were shocked or surprised about something, you would go, "Nigga," and I just thought that was funny. I thought that was just hilarious. But like I don't use it because it is derogatory, and I don't feel like we should promote its use. And I think that it's difficult to say don't do this to a certain group of people when we do it so freely.
Right.
You know, and yeah, I think that other groups should have enough common sense to know, hey, this isn't for us. But if they don't, then I don't know what other argument we can have, because when somebody looks me in my face and they say, well, you guys say it all the time, you're right. We do.
Yep.
You know, so, yeah. I don't ever, Derek's right, it's never going to be illegal. I don't ever see it going away. I do meet people on the daily who kind of remind me why it is and does need to remain in existence. but those people aren't just black. You know what I mean? Like, like that's not the quantifier for me. So, yeah, that's all I got on its use. Now let me know when we move over to Mr. Bill, and then we'll talk about him.
I'm just a Bill. Do you think it's similar to the Confederate flag?
I do.
As far as the way that it's used and how some people want to stop using it or keep it from existing and other people want it around.
Yeah, I do. I do think it's the same, because anything that massively offends, you know, I just don't think you should do. Whether you find personal offense in it or not, why would you want to be that offensive? You know what I'm saying? Because we're not just talking about one person. Mm-hmm. We're not just talking about one family. Like, we're talking about an entire body of people who say, hey, like, you know, that's offensive to me, and you still do it. So, yeah, for me it is in the same category as the flag.
All right, I think the same thing.
It's the exact same thing, just the exact opposite. I mean, white people like to use it because they think it's, you know, heritage or whatever, but they don't want anybody to, like, confront them about it. You know, they don't want anybody to tell them to take it down. I would assume a black person who was using that word randomly wouldn't want somebody coming up and saying, hey, why don't you stop saying that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's the exact same thing, just opposite side.
I even knew some black people that called themselves a black activist and wore shirts with the Confederate flag on it.
Yeah, what was the purpose in that?
It was part of the whole Lil Jon movement. Lil Jon did it. First album, B.L.B.L., with all that, they had the Confederate flag because it's a Georgia State flag. They knew what it was for, but they called it the rebel flag, so they wanted to rebel against the society, and that's what they did. They rebelled against the rap game at that time, and then that was spreading all the way up through Columbia. And people.
So they used the Confederate flag as a rebel flag
to rebel against
interesting
Southern society and the rap industry.
There was a I don't know if they're still around, and I really don't remember their name. There was a clothing line.
Don't sue me, Lil Jon.
Out in the 90s, right around the same time that Cross Colors was real popular. But they took their emblem was they took the Confederate flag, but they changed the colors to African colors like red, black, and green, and that was their tag.
That's
for
Cross
all
Colors,
of their
right?
clothing.
Is that Cross Colors?
Was it Cross Colors?
I don't know. I have a Cross Colors shirt upstairs. Want to go see?
Because I remember this being a smaller, not as popular label. But yeah, like, so they did that as sort of a middle finger, you know, to the flag.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. But you know what's interesting to me about the flag and what I often wonder sometimes? So when I'll never forget when I first started working and I got my very first little job in high school. Oh, wow. I remember one piece of advice that my mom gave me. She said, whenever you work on a job, you're going to have a number of different tasks that you have to do. Don't ever let it be known which tasks you love and which ones you hate. Because if you let that be known, then you give power to those over you. Right. And then the minute they get mad at you and they say, you know what? Well, Andre hates being on register. I'm going to put him on register for the next 5 days straight. Like, you never give people that kind of power over you. So you just do everything. You do everything with the same level of enthusiasm and never let them know. So I wonder if as a culture, if as a people, if we never had let it be known that that flag bothered us so much, would it still have reached its level of popularity? Because I think on some level, like, people are fine. They don't care nothing about that flag. They don't even know the history of the flag. But right. they do it because they know that it annoys the hell out of us.
Right.
And I just wonder if it would have just went away and been something in the history book if we never made a fuss about it.
What about Dixie? The Dixie song? Did y'all?
That's a Texas thing, isn't it?
Well, we sung it in school, in primary school.
Like, what?
During the talent show.
Like, when you pledged allegiance to the flag, you sang Deep in the Heart of Dixie.
For, like, the chorus.
Man.
The children's chorus.
I mean, this is in the middle of nowhere, though, in South Carolina.
Yeah.
Though,
oh,
so,
yeah.
I mean,
It was like for the children. Let me do this. All right. But for the children chorus and stuff, what we would do is.
Yeah, because all I could see were your eyebrows, and that was a little weird.
I'm gonna have to get myself another mic stand. I was trying to save and not do it. Eh. All right. So, but I guess I have to sit down.
Take a load off, man. Just sit down.
All right, then. I hate sitting down while I'm recording.
So, back to your redneck schools?
What? Yeah. So, in primary school, we used to have to learn the words to the song, sing the song for the talent show.
What song was this?
Dixie.
Well, yeah, but okay.
I live and die for Dixie. Hooray, hooray, hooray down south and Dixie.
You don't know that song?
I don't know this song.
What?
Hooray, hooray down south.
Well, I don't know all the words because I didn't sing it in primary school like Holiday. But but I mean, I've definitely heard the song.
I mean, I kind of grew up in the middle of nowhere, South Carolina, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never heard that song before in my life.
Yeah, they weren't.
I
don't
know.
My primary school, like, literally sat in the middle of public housing, in the middle of the projects. So, no, they weren't singing that teaching song. Us to sing.
Nah, we just did, like, Pledge of Allegiance and stuff. And that was it. Like, no, we
yeah,
singing
yeah, we did
any,
the
like,
pledge every morning.
Any
I remember
song
that
had the word Dixie in it. please find this song.
So we're going to play this song real quick, just a little bit of it.
Well, you sang it, and you sang it accurately. So,
is it wish? It was. Is it that one? I wish I was in Dixie. That's not okay. That's not the song you were just singing. Yeah, dude, you grew up oh man.
Yeah. So this is he Hold sang on, it get, faster get the than they're playing it. There you go.
Okay, of course I've heard this song before. Wow, dude. I can't believe you grew up in an area where you had to learn.
And you're not even that old. So, like, this
the
was
Rebel song
in 81.
This was in the 90s. This was, like, mid-90s. I was in primary school late 80s, early 90s.
Wow, man.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
That is...
Look away, look away, look away. I wish I was in DC, hooray.
Dude, that was a whole bunch of people trying to hold him back. That's what that was. That's exactly what that was. They were trying to hold a whole group of kids back. Learn this song real quick, boys and girls.
And we were probably like 70% black. Think about that, though.
Man. Who was
y'all?
Who
and y'all were cool with it. They were totally cool with it.
Primary school principal J. Edgar Hoover. Like,
but this is still the same town that we saw a Klan march.
In your town, wow. too?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. See, I've in never the seen 90s.
As a kid?
Yes.
That would have terrified me as a child if I had seen the Klan. If, like, today okay, it would mean absolutely nothing, but it would have terrified me as a child if I had seen the Klan walking down the street.
Okay, I thought I grew up in the middle of nowhere, South Carolina, but I didn't compared to this guy over here.
I mean, my town was so small, they joined them together. So, Batesburg was the town with a main street. Leesville was the town with a main street. And Leesville, Batesburg had...
When did they do some extra paving and ran into each other? I'm like, well, shit.
No, one day they it was one night, like 10, they announced that they was going to march from Batesburg Main Street to Leesville Main Street, which is like 3.5 miles.
And then they sang, I wish I was in Dixie, and everybody went home.
His town is like the mirror opposite of Czechoslovakia.
But my town is also the same town that a married white police, this is first time I heard of something, I mean, it happens all the time now. But married white policeman got a black woman pregnant, and one night she was found dead behind the skating rink.
See, the stories I hear you tell about your hometown, it would make sense if I were talking to a 72-year-old man. But the fact that, you know, this was your childhood and you're only 34 is crazy to me.
I'm not 34. I'm in my early 20s.
I feel like people had to keep it real with them, though. When you have to learn this shit in preschool, you know? Yeah. You gotta.
That's a lot to ingest when you're in primary school.
You don't know any better, though, at that age, right? So, I mean, you're just doing what you're told to do.
Because I find myself...
No, I definitely can't. I can't even remember a grade young enough where I would not have known... Maybe not the Dixie song. But, like, right, I can't think song, of being young right? enough just, where I would not have known what the Klan represented.
Oh, well, the Klan's completely different. They didn't associate the Klan with this, but they it's just a song. So, I mean, they're teaching these kids a song that has a background that they're not familiar with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it sounds so good.
When you see people walking around in sheets, you know, that's a little bit different than singing a song. But
like, that sheet got pee stains on it. But that's probably why I don't take all that stuff so serious, because I saw it growing up.
Yeah, you were desensitized.
Yeah, yeah.
That is true. That
what is all true. The millennials are now and stuff, I didn't have to go on YouTube and see it all. It was just in my time.
Dude,
that's crazy.
So, N-word. We all in, I think we all are, well, I think not, we are not in agreement, right? So,
no.
D thinks that no one should use it ever because it is a simple word that is meant to bring anguish to persons.
To anyone. Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely, it's rooted in hatred. You know, it really is.
Right, so why keep it around, you know?
Yeah. So, even for us to use it, you know, as a term of endearment, it just doesn't make sense.
Right.
Like, it isn't logical.
I really think that, like, our great ancestors would turn their nose at us right now. They'd be turning their graves, because even though we try to say it is now with an A, or we saying it different now, we mean it something different now. If it's another person that says it, and you think it's different just because that person looks different than you, then it really hasn't being changed to a term of endearment. It's just the same thing. You just feel like it's your word that you can use. I even had somebody tell me that. It's just something that we have on top of them because they can't use it.
Like, do women do the exact same thing with the B word, though?
Yes.
Like,
ooh, yeah. I got a lot. And this is how I came into
absolutely.
This. Women say the same thing with the B word. Females that like females say the same thing with the D word.
They call each other the D word? Oh, the DY word.
Dyke?
Yeah, is that the D word that we're talking about
yes.
here? Oh, okay, all right. I was like
dick?
I was like, why
we
does
can't
that
say
work?
Bitch?
No, nah, we're not supposed to say bitch.
Oh.
Unless you pull in a hair and hit it from behind, but
see, and this is why they don't like being said. Or
but
the fact that it's referenced
like
to a female dog.
Yeah, you know? Girlfriends, like, they call each other that all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But they're cool with it.
Yeah,
it's fine
and they're okay with
it.
But it's the exact same thing.
Yeah, it is.
Like, you crazy, bitch. Girl, you crazy, bitch. Bitch, nah. Nah, bitch. Nah, bitch. Bitch. Girl, shut up, bitch.
I'll see how long this can go.
But be like, hey, bitch. Just call me a bitch.
That's basic.
She hit you with a pocketbook and call the police. Go in the back room and hit yourself with oranges. Saying you beat her ass.
I feel like this is What's a story. In the glass?
What are you drinking?
I feel like this is a story he's telling us White about a situation water. That he ran into one time. I mean, that's very detailed.
Nah, but yeah.
With the oranges and everything.
Right, right.
Nah, that was on Thin Line Between Love and Hate.
Mm, okay.
You remember that? You see that?
No.
You should put the grapefruit in that sock and beat yourself with it.
A grapefruit in a sock?
It was oranges, but.
Okay.
It was either oranges or grapefruit.
It was an orange.
That's a Kenkel level like situation going on. Grapefruit.
Like his fist. You gotta work
it in there.
I can't deal.
He beat me with. He put some gloves on and beat the shit out of me with some huge fists.
So my thing with Bill, getting back to the topic.
Okay.
I have no idea what's been going on for the past 30 seconds.
30 seconds?
my thing with Bill is...
So we're going to talk about Bill Cosby?
No, Bill Mayer.
Bill Mayer. Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Maurer?
Maher. Bill Maher.
The more we say it,
hold
the,
on
more,
a second.
The more I think that you're right. I think Holiday is
hold
right.
On, hold on, hold on. Hold on.
Bill Maher.
Hold on. I just want to play this real quick.
Well, while you're...
I just want to see what this... It's really quick.
But do you have...
Mayer.
Woo woo.
Bill Mayer.
Bill Mayer.
No, I really thought you were right, though, Holiday. I thought it was Maher. Mm. Mayer. My thing with him after listening to the clip is that it wasn't... Like, it was so completely out of context. Like, I can't even... Like, he went there without any provocation whatsoever. Like,
no, the ass in the work in the field.
No. Because I listened.
Oh, come
when you
on.
Played it the second time, I wanted to hear exactly the phrasing that the senator used. He said, yeah, you can come on out to Nebraska. He's like, yeah, I'll come out to Nebraska. He's like, yeah, you can come out and you can work in the fields with us.
Yeah.
Is exactly what he said. That's different from, yeah, come on out. We'll put you out in the field. Like, that is a different connotation. The senator was referring to, in Nebraska, we're farmers. That's right. What he was saying. And I don't think he meant anything other than that by the way he phrased it. He meant, we're farmers. Yeah, come on out and farm with us. Bill was like left field and step on it. Like he went and it's like, why did you even go there is my question.
You know what? I do believe it might be left field. Won't know why. Because that's probably exactly what I would have said in the same situation. And everybody said I go left field so fast. But I would have said that. So I think it's completely in context. To me, that's exactly something I would have said. Am I lying, Dre?
I mean, yeah, I can see you saying
okay,
that.
Okay, but you can say that, right? You can say that as an individual. But when you're representing like an organization or your own show, you can't just go and do things like that.
Yeah.
You can't do it. But you, as a
they
private citizen,
done it a few times
can do whatever you want to do. It's your choice.
Who? I'm just as famous as Bill Mayer.
Huh?
I mean, in my head.
Yeah, in your head. That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wish I was in Dixie.
It's catchy, though, eh?
I'm just talking about what else is in your head.
I believe in freedom of speech, so I may not agree with what you say. I'll always defend your right to say it. So he said it, you know. For me, it's just more of a curiosity thing. Like, why did that just sprout in your brain that quickly? Like, why was house nigger versus field nigger the first thing that triggered in your head as a white guy? Oh, like, we joke about that in the community all the time because we understood the difference and, you know, the lighter skin slaves were in the house. And so, yeah, we make that reference a lot. But as a white guy, why did you go there so quickly? That's the part that I've... We'll never have an answer to, but I would certainly like to know.
is maybe,
and you didn't miss a beat. Like, you were there.
All right. Well, what about Hollywood? Doesn't Hollywood kind of desensitize the general public to using that word? Think about a movie like Django Unchained. Django Unchained probably had the N-word used roughly 400 times during that entire movie. And it was related to things like that, house and field.
Mm-hmm.
So is it easier for white people just to be okay with using it because they hear it everywhere in the media or in entertainment? But for me, like,
I thought I would hear it. I thought you, because I didn't listen before tonight. So I thought you would play the clip, and I thought it would be like, you know, him interviewing a rapper saying, yo, what's up, my nigga? Like, trying to be funny. But for me, it's not just the word. It's the whole reference, Mr. Bill. It's that whole reference that you set up and situated and that played out in a matter of 3 seconds. Like, where did that come from?
They say he's like that, though.
Well, he would have to be.
And by they, I'm just...
Like, he would have to be on the regular for him to go there that quickly. But, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, I agree with D. You know, he is a person, you know, at once you reach a certain level of entertainment, it's no longer just about Bill Mayer the individual. He's now Bill Mayer the brand,
right?
And so you represent a lot more than just your personal self. You know, you represent the network that employs you, and you can't just say whatever you want to say at that point because it's a lot larger than just you. Yeah, me, you, D, we can say whatever we want to say because, you know, when no one's paying us for our public presentation. But when you are being paid for your public presentation, you have to use a little more, have a little more scruples about yourself than that. That was just bizarre. Like, it wasn't even for me. It wasn't even about being offended. It was just strange.
You come out and work in the field with us.
Right. And so with that connotation as well, is he not calling the senator and every other farmer in Nebraska the N-word?
Right. And
so I mean, is he not?
That's why
he's saying
asking.
That I am not. Mm-hmm. So that means you are. Because I'm going to be in the house, right?
I just thought you were saying I ain't getting my nails dirty.
So that's why I asked. That's why I was asking the questions about the senator because I don't know who he is. But I was asking about him. I'm like, is he like uber conservative? And maybe there's been some accusations or some instances where, you know, he's been deemed a racist or you know, does he have that kind of background? Is Bill like taking a jab at him because that's who he is? Like, I don't know what just happened. I'm very confused by this.
I don't know. We can research that, but that's... I don't think it would have gone over well regardless of the senator's background.
Yeah, you're right.
Because that's a hard thing to pander someone over, you know?
Yeah. It was weird. Like, I thought I would hear it and be absolutely on one side of the fence or the other, but it's more bizarre than anything else.
I thought I was going to hear it and laugh.
And you did.
I did.
You watched it twice in here with us, and you laughed twice.
I've laughed every time I've seen it.
This reference is going to be lost on YouTube because you're not old enough, so I know you didn't watch All in the Family, Archie Bunker, because it was off the air by the time you guys came around.
Right.
But his wife... You know, she was silly, and he was very serious and racist and all this kind of stuff. So whenever she would say stuff to him that made absolutely no sense, he would just look at her and scrunch his face up and go, "What?" And that's exactly how I felt when I watched that. Like, what? What are you talking about? What just happened? It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get it.
He just didn't have anything to say. He ran out of corn jokes.
Well, he sure said it quickly. For somebody who didn't have anything to say, he came up with it on the spot.
He ran out of corn jokes. He didn't have any more corn jokes to tell.
What's a corn joke?
Nebraska.
What would have been fitting in that conversation, in the context of that conversation?
Right.
Yeah, but he went from farming, you know, a field hand, because that was the connotation, to, you know, house niggas and field niggas on the plantation. Like, he just went completely left.
Is that different than, do you feel like the way he said was worse than when I used to say other words for niggas? Like,
what other
darkies, stuff like that?
Actually, and you know, you my people, you know, your family is my family, but actually that offends me.
Right.
Yeah, when you use those words. Mm-hmm. Like my tone changed just now. Like, that deeply offends me.
What offends you more?
That's what I'm asking.
I think coon or darkie offends me more than nigger. And again, maybe
you're just so desensitized.
Maybe it's just because I've been desensitized to that word.
I was about to ask you.
Yeah.
What makes that so much stronger?
You, when you say coon and darky, it automatically takes me back to like the old caricatures of people in blackface eating a slice of watermelon. Cool. Like it auto, it, like visually, it takes me to someplace just, you know, just I can't even describe the level of degradation that I feel when that word hits my ears. So yeah, it does affect me differently.
Yeah, because Dre pulled me over to the side. It was like, if I ever hear you say that again. So I had to make sure I was on air when I said it again. Nah, I'm joking. But so that tells you how much I like Dre, because I'm just not getting to the point now where when someone tells me that something offends them, that I try to stop using it. So if he, 5 years ago, we would just stop being friends.
After I hit him in the face with an orange and a sock.
Yeah. Grapefruit.
I have a friend who's doing a major right now in Black history.
Mm-hmm.
He actually gave me one book now, but he showed me a book he's gonna give me, and it's about the presentation of Black people in those days. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, so if you go into a theater, you see the Black people in the balcony. Why did they put them in the balcony and vice on the floor? Or whenever you go to the bus, you know that sitting in the back of the bus. Or why the water fountains was where they was, and opposed to where the white water fountains was, and stuff like that. So it's basically a book on why Black people was presented like that. And then in the book, it also talks about why Italian people and Jewish people. It has a very short chapter on that as well. But it talks about it wasn't just the Black people. It was anybody that was different than a normal land-owning American white male.
Mm.
Everybody got it if you wasn't an American white male. And did you know, real quick, first election, only 6%. Of the population voted?
The very first election?
Very first.
Seems like that's kind of trending.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it was like you had to be an American white male that was a landowner. And the first time people felt discriminated against voting was the American white males that were not landowners thought they should have the reason to vote. And then it started going from there.
Which is hilarious how like quickly these white British people left England to escape religious, you know, persecution.
Absolutely.
And then they come here and they like immediately start doing it.
Yeah, immediately. Immediately. It's so bizarre. But, you know, I have a friend who teaches at an adaptive educational center. And so these kids have, most of them have suffered lots of abuse. And so, you know, he said that typically whatever form the abuse was presented in, then that tends to become that child's preoccupation. So if a kid is sexually abused, then he is like, just sex is his focus. Like it's you know, it's everything. So I don't know that, you know, you go from a place where someone's thumb was on your head telling you what you could and could not do, only to get yourself established in a place of power where you can then put your thumb on someone's head telling them what they can and cannot.
That's true.
Do.
Yeah.
And then you just go to another continent and get a whole bunch of people to help you build a land and just tell them what they can and cannot do.
Yeah.
Which is still astounding.
Just to help out a little bit.
Like Columbus. Columbus still has a national holiday, and Columbus was a massive slave trader.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he actually also kept the local Indians where he was as slaves as well, and where they would have to mine a certain amount of gold or whatever they had in that area at the time. And if they didn't meet their quotas, they wouldn't get fed or they'd get beat. Or if they missed too many days, they'd kill like their oldest child. Like, you know, crazy shit like that.
Yeah, that's
but,
good.
You know,
and see, you know,
we're going to have a national holiday for him.
As much as we disagree, like I absolutely fundamentally believe that you get it. But there's so many people who don't. Excuse me. Like, there's so many people who say, why are you so angry? It was, I hate sneezing. And so it was a sneeze that I tried to catch in my throat because I didn't want it to come out. I hate sneezing. God.
So, I thought you were about to die. I thought you were about to have a stroke.
I was like, what was that?
I picked up my phone.
I caught it. I bastard how to catch it.
I was ready to call 911. I was ready.
No, I caught it. I caught it. It was much more dramatic visually than it probably sounded over the air. No, so what I was saying is I believe that you get it, but there's so many people who don't get it. Like, they just look at, you know, minorities in this country and they say, why are you so angry? Why? Oh, that was 100 years ago. Why are you still upset about it? But it's that kind of stuff. Like, why do we still have a Columbus National Holiday? You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's because of the Catholic Church. And I mean, really, is that that's why it's that is? I mean, the Catholic
right movement isn't over yet.
Well, the Catholic Church wanted to have a Catholic person have a national holiday, and they didn't really have a good person to put up. And I guess the history probably wasn't completed at that point either. So maybe they just had the good history about Columbus, because, you know, like, old history is all written by someone who's actually, like, interested in the topic at the time, and they're the ones who are actually, like, scribing all of it. So you're only going to get usually a positive aspect of most history. So maybe that's all they had at the time, but now we know that he was kind of an asshole. But also, sociology minor in college, so very familiar with what, you know, what 400 years of being put down can do to you as a society, and how that can make you different from the people that were putting you down.
Right.
And how that can separate you and your culture from the majority culture. It's very simple, because already a minority culture has to do more to get to specific places than a majority culture has to.
Yeah.
That's just how it works. It doesn't matter what color you are, minority, majority. If you're the minority, you're going to have to do more work than the majority is.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So
that's why we had the caddy so long before we got the golf. 200 years. 200 years of caddying.
You know, and people that I know, I just in conversation with them, and I know I can tell that they don't get it. I always start the dialogue by saying, you do understand that there aren't enough chains in the world to enslave physically an entire race of people.
Right.
Like, there has to be a psychological, you know, breakdown. So slavery was strategic. It wasn't about, you know, chaining people and whipping
them
and
making them work.
But no, it was a strategic and very manipulative mental breakdown of an entire race of people. Like, that's how you keep them enslaved. And so you have to first understand that before you can understand how, yes, even today as a culture, there's still, you know, remnants and effects of that. Because, you know, it affected.
Absolutely. And it also goes back to, you know, just basic evolution, you know.
Right.
People who are weaker and easier to comply are going to do better than the people who are, you know, offensive and don't want to follow rules.
Correct.
Those people are going to die.
Right.
And those people are not going to pass their genes on to the next generation. The ones who are the ones who are easily going to comply with their slave masters, and they're going to have all these kids who are going to be the same way they are. So it's very much an evolutionary chain as well for 400 years.
It really is.
You're talking potentially, what, 16 generations maybe of people who were put down and who the strong did not survive in that situation.
Actually,
so it was the reverse.
They moved the strong to Jamaica and Haiti and the Gullah Islands. Well, the Gullah Islands where they trained them, right? The ones that didn't make it, was too strong, wouldn't comply, went to Jamaica and Haiti. Correct?
Really? No, I didn't know that.
Okay.
I thought it was just the chance of which way your ship turned.
Oh, no. It was more like...
No, this was a business. Yeah. This was a very organized business of gathering people and bringing them to...
Right, no.
Places.
No. Of course, I knew that, but I mean in terms of where you ended up. So boats left Africa. This boat is going to Jamaica. Whoever is on it is on it. This boat is going to Jamaica. This boat's going to South Carolina. Whoever's on it. I didn't realize what you're describing is sort of how we separate fruit. Okay, so these are grapes.
Good.
Let's put them on the boat, get them to Jamaica. These are grapefruits. Let's get them to South Carolina. Like, I wasn't aware that took place.
Yeah, I didn't know they were like... So they were basically like taking people and saying, this person would be better at sugar cane. Let's send them to the Caribbean. And this person would be better with cotton. Let's send them to South Carolina. That's what they were doing?
Well, now, you know, we brought that knowledge with us. So maybe that was the differential. Mm-hmm. Maybe depending on what you harvested there
in your local community before you got
determined where you
but
went.
Before they actually brought them to, took them to what was the three main ports? Charleston, Baltimore. Was it Baltimore?
Somewhere in that.
I think it was Baltimore.
Somewhere in Virginia.
Yeah, that sounds right.
But before they took them to those three auction blocks, they took them to an island here somewhere, and they trained them, break them. You break them. The ones that they could not break in time, or they didn't have the time to break, that they felt like well, Unbreakable went down to the islands.
Hmm. Interesting.
That, you,
what do you think the purpose of that was? Right?
No, going this year, I've never been.
If you go there, speak to an authentic, they call them mountain man.
You already know that.
If you get a chance to
everybody,
talk to
everywhere I go.
Ask them about it. They'll tell you, Jamaicans will tell you that. They'll tell you.
Well, you know, just listening to you, it almost makes sense because there is a sort of aggression, I guess, that Jamaicans typically have.
Right.
You know, they have, just speaking in general, they typically have like a pretty strong will, pretty aggressive, you know, this is what it is kind of personality. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I could see where that could be true.
I had one call me a HN house nigga. Because I walked into his store with a t-shirt on. And he was talking about these house niggas around here wearing cotton. And I looked at it. I said,
it's South Carolina, sir. What would you have me to wear? Said, it's 110 degrees in the shade in August.
This was in Jamaica?
This was in Colombia.
In Colombia. Yeah. Interesting.
This was for 2006 because I was just changing into the dreadhead that you see before you did. All of that was going on at that time.
He was transitioning.
Yeah, I was in the middle of my transition.
He's post-op.
So.
Oh,
but yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah. So, I'm seeing all that. So, Bill Maher, you see you done got us talking about everything culture.
Because it's always deeper than the surface, mm-hmm. right? It's always deeper.
Tell us some white people stuff, Derek.
What do you mean to tell you?
I meant to say D.
Well, at our meeting last week.
But you know what? Here's some white.
I'm sorry,
people
that was a classified meeting. I can't talk about that. Sorry.
I think sometimes we get so caught up and we talk about, you know, the big things, the big polarized things, the Holocaust and slavery. But just think about, like, even when, because I was talking to somebody recently, and she was telling me about how her last name evolved. But like when her parents came over, they came through Ellis Island. And so they asked her dad, what's your name? And he's like, Joseph Papanicolaou. And he's like, no, that's too long. Joseph Pappas. That's what we're going to go with. Move it on. What?
He could feel his test is
what? Out. like
well, he likely didn't even understand what they were saying at the time, but then he has his papers and that's all he can go
and
with.
And that's all he can go with. Yeah, because that is now his name for someone who, you know, just arbitrarily was just too lazy to be bothered.
And the person he probably
there was a
spell.
Long line, I'm sure. So
he probably couldn't spell either. Because you remember back then.
Well, I mean, and at least something like that, like she knows what her like family's last name is.
Yeah,
so obviously they kept that going.
Yeah, and
so,
you know, that's the larger atrocity with slavery is that you just literally ripped, like, you know, we don't have the luxury of knowing. You know, we can use certain things to maybe kind of figure it out or piece it together, but that's just largely assumption. You know,
there's
no record.
There would almost be no way that you could track back to where you're actually from.
No.
It would be almost impossible.
They say that for the most, some people could get all the way back to the plantation. Some people.
Well, like Derek said, it was a business. So there's very good record of that. Like you can get back to the plantation, you know, once you got off the boat, but anything beyond that. And I mean, people use like physical attributes and your build and your features to kind of say, oh, you look like you would have been from this, but no one knows for sure.
Right.
Okay, so actually if you use one of like these like services where you can go back, what are they called? Like
Ancestry.
Ancestry. I had a friend who did that.
Mm-hmm.
He lived in, his family lived in the Florence area,
mm-hmm.
and he traced his back. He didn't think he had any slaves in his family's history, and they classify them 0 to 10, 11 to 19, and mm-hmm. 20 and above.
Mm-hmm.
So he found out that his family had 5, 0 to 10, 3, 11 to 19, and 6, 20 and above.
Wow.
In like a specific year. And so that's all you get.
Yeah.
I mean, you just know that you were in that age group, and you were potentially one of them, and that was your grandfather. And that's it. That's all you'd really get.
Yeah.
So.
Crazy.
Yeah. You might get a little more detailed if you were, because the sale records, the invoices, they were a little more detailed, you know.
I'm sure, yeah.
You know, teenage wench, you know.
Right.
That sort of thing. And that became, you know, our, you know, young strapping boy or whatever, gave a little more detail than just the age breakdown, but still just property, you know, no need for insignificant stuff like names or birth dates or ages, you know.
They had some in the 30s and 40s. This one man messed up all the records in North Carolina because he was one of those people that was there for the births. So he used to keep record of births. And then as he got older, he got into like the government side of things. So he ended up being like the person that kept records of all the birth certificates and death certificates and the race of everyone. So he eventually got to the point, and he worked for Nixon, but he eventually got to the point where he would classify people just by their last names. If you were kin to a black Norris and you look British white, all the Norrises that he knew were black, so you were black. And it was on your certificate, you couldn't do anything about it. And they actually have court records and everything about it because some people actually fought it. And for a while, it wouldn't get pushed through. They would just let them do it. So there's about, I think it's like 20 old years.
Government employees.
20 years of records where anybody that was born in those areas in North Carolina do not know what they really are.
That's ridiculous.
But if you were classified white but you came out dark, he would go black. And then any of those in that line then are black. If you was two white people that had a baby, you was white. If you was a black person and a white person that had a baby, then it was black. Unless it came out completely white, then he would say white.
Here's a book by Anne Rice. It's called...
And the Man to Get Killed.
Oh gosh, I just lost it. There's a book by Anne Rice. Can't think of the name. The Feast of All Saints is the name of it, and sounds it's like about it's about some former slaves. I didn't read it, but I know basically what it's about. But these slaves, they somehow got their freedom and they lived their lives passing because they looked white. You know, they have blonde hair and blue eyes, but they actually been slaves, and so you know it's a story of them trying to navigate through this culture without that secret being found out.
Was it in North Carolina?
Oh no. Jesus. I don't know where it was.
It sounds similar. It sounds like something I read about the same time I read that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I don't know where it's
you're talking about this dude again.
Oh man. Yeah. Crazy. Crazy.
Y'all got anything else?
See what happens when you go around just arbitrarily using the N-word. That's why you can't do it, yeah, Bill. Bad move.
A 55-minute conversation or something like that. What are we at?
49 minutes and 22-second
conversation.
And haven't even scratched the surface.
No. Haven't even touched it.
Nope. Well, if you'd like to reach us, somebody need to have a car because I don't have one right now. Bump it. I go by memory. You can hit us on Facebook. It's at TheStratNet. Twitter is at TheStrat_net. The email address is TheDistractionNetwork@gmail.com. Or you can look at us online at
DistractionNetwork.com.
Is it The Distraction Network? Or
Distraction I think it's Distraction.
DistractionNetwork.com.
It's Distraction
Network.
Bam! See, I knew one of us was going to get it. All right. And don't forget you're listening to The Distraction Network, where the discussions happen. Take care and be safe. I'm focused on that finish line. Developing a strong mind. Years ago, they stopped making my kind. Yeah, I lose sleep, but it's alright, cause I'm on the grind.